Blog Talk Radio.
Grieving, we want to honor and send love to you and the spirit of yours, and let's have a good time on the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. If you haven't caught on, I am Simply Nay. We are in full effect, and this is Real Life Radio. This is not your little friend's podcast. No shade, all facts. If you want to call in, have a conversation, talk your shit, be 563-999-3671. Again, the number is 563-999-3671. We started off with B-Rock and the Biz, Baby Daddy. Might have aged myself. Listen, I don't look like what I've been through. Black don't crack, especially when you mind your business, which is tax deductible in all 50 states and the territories as well. Can't go any further without thanking some of the sponsors who make sure that we can do what we do every Sunday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're sponsored by Stand Omni Media, a diversified digital media brand that is dedicated to ensuring the voices and cultures that are most often silent, like the little black girl from Southeast DC, who has a dog that wants to be a part of the radio show today. We'll be honest. Make sure that we can get a platform. So I've been doing this now over 10 years. You all have been listening to us, and we appreciate you in over 200 countries. And if you want to advertise your business, your brand, your product, your service on Stand Omni Media's number of shows, check out www.wheredoyouthestand.com. Again, that's www.wheredoyouthestand.com. We love to see it. We love to see it. Now, we are also sponsored, I love these people, by Eve for Eve Online, the premier lesbian dating website that is under reconstruction. They have Adam for Adam. Find your Eve for Eve. I really enjoy being a spokesperson, brand ambassador. I don't even know the proper term for the experience I've had with the Eve for Eve online brand, really helping them to shape an experience that is appropriate for the spectrum of lesbian-centric, queer-identified, black and brown dating experiences. I'm very excited. I think that the things that they're doing are innovative. It's not just a slide to the left. That's all. And it's not giving plenty of fools. So check them out. Like them on social media, Eve or Eve. That's E-V-E, the number 4, E-V-E, online.com. And E-V-E, the number 4, E-V-E, online, on the social streets everywhere. Lastly, put out your phones, go straight to Instagram. We need you to support Sidebar. Go right to @SidebarDC on Instagram. Sending I Am Simply Made a Law School one sip at a time. That name sounds familiar. That's right, me. I'm out here with these cocktails, and I hope to see you at Pride in the Park. That's right. Sidebar is going to be out with not one, but two sidebars for you to enjoy all of my guilty pleasures. See what I did there? Meant it, pun fully intended. This is going to be July 3rd. It's all going down at Oxen Run Park. BLS Entertainment is doing it again, and I am so excited just to be there and be bringing you the best in adult experiences. We'll have some zero-proof mocktails for those who that's not your ministry. And, of course, would I be who I am if you can't have an infused experience? No, I wouldn't be. So I want you to follow us at One Mike and Mike Stand Show. And the 10th person to follow us is going to get a party pack on me at Pride in the Park. That's right, you. And 3 of your friends can share a cocktail, take a toast on Simply May. That's right. Tell a friend, bring a friend. It's going to be a fabulous occasion. But right now, you know why? Because this is a radio show.
It's my baby mama.
Yeah,
I'm on child support. She get reference checks, but I stay in court. It's my baby mama.
Yeah.
She be riding caddy, and she always looking for sugar daddies.
If my baby daddy, he know he always broke, and he ain't no good, nothing but a joke. If my baby daddy, he know it's nothing heavy, he be cheating on me, that's why I can't stand him.
Maintenance freak just got me stressing. In the court, I must confess it. Players trying to get that check. And who for here gets on your neck? In the jail, I can't be staying. And my teeth, you can't be taking. Child support can burn like torch when you get behind on payments. Here they go, they send them letters. Then they wanna come and get you. Probably shoulda used the Jimmy. Probably shoulda never met her. Why you wanna try to impress me? Always lying, trying to caress me.
All these so-called ballers want me for. I'm staff, you know I'm sexy. I'm the statue. Keep some cooking in the kitchen, bake your biscuits up from scratch. Get you strong off my cat, but
keep coming short. Now not playing child support, and these folks got me running, man. Spending nights with ears on the brizards and all my dogs, man. Warrants for your boy arrest, got me sweating from the stress. Getting drunk and high all night, about to drive me to that white. Man, if these folks want me, they gon' really have to find me. Messing off with these scallywag hoes, they so grind.
It's my baby mama, I want child support. She get work for checks, but I stay in court. It's my baby mama, she be riding caddy, and she always looking for sugar daddy.
It's my baby daddy, he be always broke, and he ain't no good, nothing but a joke. It's my baby daddy, he is nothing heavy, he be cheating on me, that's why I can't play.
Why you playing?
Boy, your baby needs some shoes, boy, your baby needs some clothes, need to try and pay your fee. Why you buy her pantyhose? Ain't no more for me and you. But then what they gotta do? With the C we had conceived. Don't you know he's part of you? I don't wanna hear your mess. Talk to me by giving text. Put a dozen up in my business. What I want is what I get. Should've known it from the start. All that talk was just a front. Now you paying for that lane. See your ass in court next month.
Pay you cheese, I'll give you quarters. I'll just wait for court to order. Mexico is where you find me. Somewhere around the fucking border. Hanging with the finest women. Walking with a gangster limping. Drinking on a case of DP. Goody green, you know we with it. I done hustled, worked a job and broke some back. There weren't no stopping. You done did the club and hopping. And them pills you kept on popping. Now I see why you be freaking. Now I know why you be geeking. If you wanna give me reasons, catch me in that player seat.
It's my baby mama, I want y'all support. She get work for checks, but I stay in court. It's my baby mama, she be riding caddy, and she always looking for sugar daddy.
It's my baby daddy, he always broke, and he ain't no good, nothing but a joke. It's my baby daddy, he ain't nothing heavy, he be cheating on me, that's why I can't stand him.
I can't stand them neither, I promise, because when I get to work, that's all I hear. My baby daddy ain't this, my baby daddy ain't that, my baby mama neither. So we play them both equal opportunity. How about baby people? How about baby humans? How about, we're just going to keep it across the binary this Pride Month. If you haven't heard, I'm still Simply Nay in here, in full effect. And this is the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. Very excited to get into today's conversation. I believe that it'll be rich. I believe that it'll be nuanced. I believe that there'll just be a lot of gems, a lot of major keys, as the boy Khaled says. And so without further ado, I am going to bring on our guest for the day and make it do what it does. It's the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. And Kenya, thank you so much for being in the building virtually.
Hey,
you
no
know,
problem. No problem. Thanks for having me. And I'm with you. Baby people. Let's keep it non-binary. Not baby daddy. Baby people.
Baby people.
Humans. I love that.
The people, the people with the babies, because I'm not one, okay? And all of y'all are just one. When I'm on a flight, all y'all look alike, because your name my sister. When I'm at brunch, look alike, because those are not
they all look
my
alike.
Kids. So we're going to say baby people. Today, we just did something. When we get together, Kenya, it's just monumental. It's just, listen.
Every time.
You got to run and trademark that and put that on some shirts real quick.
Okay.
That's it for the baby people.
Oh, gosh.
The
for the baby
people. Baby. Yes.
How you doing today?
Listen, I'm out here. I'm in these streets, not in nobody's sheets. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm enjoying myself. We had technical difficulties. It told you it wasn't a show. It told me it wasn't a show. It was a show. Music and everything for a show. Guests for the show. But it was like, no ma'am, Aunt Pam, no one will be converted today. Shout out to the people who were just waiting for me to say conversate. Mm-mm, don't you know no good. I am just, there's so much I want to talk to you about. So I want to get into it for the people who might have Googled you, but they don't know who you are. They know what Google said. Can you introduce yourself to the audience?
Sure. My name is Kenya Hutton, also known as Kenya Garcon. I will come to Manhattan here in D.C. I am the Deputy Director of the Center for Black Equity. I'm the Minister of Director for another organization called Bambi Ministries. I also do some work around overdoses. Been doing this work for a little bit. I think I'm up to almost 20 years now. I'm not over 20 years now in this game of social justice, racial justice, health equity. I'm making sure people can live, live right, you know, up and down the East Coast, zipping across the country. And in the ballroom side, like I said, I'm in the House of Garcon, and I am one of the directors of our CDG Pro division, which is our division of people that do the work. They're out here, you know, shifting policies, making sure that we're represented in everywhere. Yeah, I do a lot. So that's me.
We're just going to take a deep breath for you. We're just going to.
That's all
the reasons you're here, because the reality is, in order to be effective, in order for there to be meaningful change, in this day and age, folks are doing a lot. Folks are doing a lot. And, you know, you can see an individual. You may only know them for what their resume may say or what you may assume or the space that you navigate with them. But believe you me, the person to the left of you, the person to the right of you is doing a lot.
Yes, doing a lot. I mean, it's a lot to be done. Let's say that.
Yeah, there's
still a lot to be done.
So where are you from originally? Can you take us to Kenya, the growing boy?
Yes, the growing boy. So I am a child of immigrant parents, from Jamaica immigrant parents, born in Brooklyn, New York, Flatbush, Brooklyn. Grew up in Brooklyn and all that good stuff. And relocated to D.C. Funny thing about D.C., I was a bad boy in New York, right? I was getting in a whole bunch of trouble all the time. I was just going down a path, and I got a break, and I said, okay, well, I'm going to dip to D.C. for like a year, 2 year top, and then I'm coming back to New York. I've been here 20-plus years now. It's like I just fell in love with D.C., and, it's been well over 20 years now. I'm thinking about it. Like, D.C. just became home. Just fell in love with D.C. fell in love with people like you, Nay, that just, you know, keep it real and keep it real and keep us informed. Just fell in love with it, and, so that's where I'm from, and that's where I am.
So let's just say there is a young aspiring New Yorker or somebody who wants to go to Miami. What would you say to them, that young boy from immigrant parents who's like, maybe, but just can't get the will to do it as yet?
Don't give up. Don't give up. That's all I can really say is just don't give up. RuPaul always does this thing on her show, which has people talk to their younger self. If I could ever go back and tell my younger self or a younger, you know, person that I know that is queer and trying to get out there and just experience life, especially coming from immigrant parents, just don't give up. Keep on going. It's going to get better. These are all cliche words, and I can't believe I'm saying it. But I have gotten to that age now where these cliche words are, it's true. It does get better. The work's not going to stop. The fight's not going to stop. But the thing that you struggle with being an immigrant child of immigrant parents, and some of the other things, you see, I'm going into a whole nother conversation. It's a little tough, but, you know, it gets better. Just keep your eye on the prize and keep on going.
So you arrived in D.C. How did you identify?
Yes.
There's just so much to do here. Folks can be doing things but not doing them well. You happen to be one of those individuals that are doing the things you do rather well, becoming innovative, creating additional space. You just have a lot going on, Capitol Ballroom Council. So can you take us to, you arrived to D.C. Did you know before you got here what was speaking to your spirit? Or, you know, take us to how you got to where, you know, where your heart lies, the work you do.
Okay. So I started doing some of this nonprofit work in New York. First job was at GMHC, believe it or not. I needed a job. A friend of mine got me a part-time job there, and just doing the work, some folks that I was around believed in me. Shout out to Aisha and Casper and those folks. And they believed in me and said, Ken, you really are good at this kind of work. You're good at talking to people, and I care about the work. So they, you know, pushed me to keep on getting certification and training, et cetera. Still, you know, getting myself in trouble, had to relocate to D.C., came down for a visit, fell in love with D.C., just off the visit, started applying for jobs, got hired, the whole nine yards, packed my bags and moved to D.C. within like 2 weeks, not knowing what the work was. It was a nonprofit organization. I'm not going to say the organization. But within 6 months, we realized that it wasn't a good fit, let's just say that, for me, because one of the employees that worked there was, you know, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed young lady from, I think she might have been from Iowa or Minnesota, something like that, had the audacity to tell me that I don't know how to talk to the clients. Mind you, all of our clients were black and brown, queer people, trans people, you know, homeless folk, straight folk, you know, but we were dealing with a lot of folks with, like, addiction and dealt with a lot of sex work.
Right.
And you're going to tell me I don't know how to talk to these people? The problem was I was using street talk. I was talking to them a language that they understood. Them people didn't understand what I was saying. So,
right.
So all of that, you know, I was just like, okay, it's time for me to get out of here. Get out of here. And I went to, was blessed to end up under Ron Simmons, and that pretty much changed my life a lot, where I realized I learned the game a bit, but also learned how to stand proudly in who I am. I actually came out the closet when I moved to D.C., but all this the entire time I'm still in the closet. But after being around Ron and seeing and really, not I can't even say this, Ron, just being around a city where, you know, it seems like everyone I'm meeting is like celebrating my blackness and my queerness, I end up coming out of the closet and being an openly queer man. And
did you see the pool card? Like, how do you, because see, listen here, I was outed. I tell anybody this, and I, especially during Pride, because everybody wants me to give them this very bold story. No, somebody else told my business. That's the short version.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you prepare yourself to go and talk to your, because if you understand the way that some folks didn't get what you said, so let me explain to people the fact. A child of immigrant-born parents means that the parent is straight out of the country from which
the country
they have referred. Do not pass, yeah. Though. Do not collect $100. May or may not have documentation. We don't judge from here. I'm just making sure we're all clear on the one mic stand with somebody next. So where we are on See What Had Happened Was Radio with your host and teammate is Kenya is preparing to take his ass back. Kenya free. He's free. Kenya decided.
Yeah.
Was it a postcard? Did you write a note? How did you decide and why did you decide? Because Stacey and Chin, who is also a descendant of Jamaican parents who lives in New York,
yep.
She spoke to my young people and she said to them, do not come out if you don't have rent money. And that shit touched my spirit.
Yeah.
Because the kids were like, what? She was like, no, they'll tell you it gets better and all that other shit, but the rent has to get paid and they might put you out. So
they might. Yeah.
If you don't know where you're going to go, you may want to think about whether or not you're going to come out. And so I always tell people, like, out is a privilege, out is a spectrum, out is different for everyone. Now, some folks are giving us very Queen Latifah. Some of us are giving very the Brat. It's just, you know, it's a spectrum. You know, it's a journey for us all.
Mm-hmm.
But the visibility of those who can safely be visible, right? And that's also a risk. I don't want anyone to ever think that it's okay to be gay, because you can hop on a plane or cross the wrong person at the right time, and it's no longer safe to be who you are. And that goes beyond gender. That goes beyond sexual orientation. So, like, take us there. Where were you when you decided you needed to tell them? And then take us to doing it. Because I know it wasn't within the plane. No, that's a child.
No, it was not. It was not. I tried to live the whole double life. I tried to do everything. That statement about not until you have the rent money is key, because I didn't do it until I came up to D.C. I was states away from my family in New York. I remember I had created like a MySpace page. I created all these different pages, and the girl I was dating had found it, right? And it didn't really say explicitly that I was gay, but, you know, it was like, I'm here to meet people, guys and girls, random, you know, thinking I was trying to be smart, whatever. She found it, whatever. So that was the first kind of inkling. I denounced it, said that wasn't happening. That wasn't real, whatever. So, anywho, long story short, since then it actually been on my mind, like, I really should tell them and say something, but I wasn't comfortable yet. I wasn't there yet. And I never forget it. I was in Safeway down in Columbia Heights, and my sister calls me, and she tells me, on my MySpace page, there was someone having sex. It was a porn. This is what it was like. I don't know if you remember when MySpace used to post, people used to like, those original spammers, right? And someone had posted like a page in the comment section, and my sister asked me if it was me, and I was like, nah, I don't even know what you're talking about, yada, yada, yada. Nah, I told, like, explained to him about the whole thing about spam, it was junk, I don't know what it is, I'm going to go fix it. So I got on my computer, and I turned it down, took it down, and I sat there, and I was just like,
but did you watch
Tammy,
it first?
This is the time.
This is the one my
said,
hey, did you indulge? It
yes,
was selected for
did.
You. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't be rude.
Yeah.
also,
I remember that.
Also, you can send quality porn to our inbox at One Mike Stan Show, and we'll review it accordingly. We'll review it accordingly. We accept. We accept. Rebates on OnlyFans account. Leave. Yeah, so at One Mike Stan Show, OnlyMicStanBshow. Yes, okay.
So she caught it, and, you know, we took it off. And then I sat there and said, Kenya, this is your moment. This is the moment for you to say it. So I called her back and said, remember when you called me earlier about that porn thing? I said, no, that wasn't me, but yes, I am gay. And she was like, okay, whatever, whatever.
Not the okay.
She didn't say nothing. She said,
okay.
I said, yeah, that was it. You know, and then I was like, fuck, I know it's a wrap. I know everyone's going to know now. So I called her back and said, don't tell nobody. Don't tell daddy. Don't tell nobody because I'm a do this myself. Anywho. Months later, so I came out of stages, first of all. About a month or so later, my mother and I was emailing back and forth. I do not remember what it was about, but I remember she called me a faggot in the email. And then I called her, and then I turned to her and said, tell me something I don't already know. And then I didn't hear from her for like about a week. And then she emails me back and was like, what did you say? And I'm still sour. So I was like, you heard what I said. I didn't stutter. That's how she found out. And then she went and told my father, and everyone else told everybody. So then I'm at work now, and I'm sitting there at work. And then all of a sudden, like, all the people in my family are calling me on my office phone. They never come
why
before.
Why do black people call the work phone? Listen.
Call my
work phone. Can we intervene? Can we be a blessing to some? You, there is somebody that is finna call to my job right now, okay? Somebody. People used to do that shit to me all the time. It was like they didn't want to talk to me till I got to work. Please,
right.
Damn.
So everybody started calling. And I'm like, mind you, these are people that never even, I didn't know they had my work phone number. And they're calling my telephone, calling my work phone, and no one's saying anything. All everyone is saying is, hey, Kenya, I just want to call and tell you, you know, I love you and I'll always be there. And I'm like, okay. After about the third call, I'm like, did somebody die? Like, what is going on? Why is nobody telling me what's happening? Everyone's telling me they love me. Come to find out, my mother had told my father, and I called my aunt, and, you know, it just spread everywhere. It actually wasn't really good because it put me in a really dark place that I really wasn't prepared for it to be that wide. Spread, especially, you know, like, again, I'm Jamaican. So it's not really something that we ever heard spoken about positively in my household or any household that I was around. So it put me in a really dark place where I started to pull back and not really be around people. When I did, I would be indulging in all kinds of things that weren't healthy for me. But anywho, so yeah. You know, eventually.
But have you done meth?
Have I done meth? No, I have not done meth. Not intentionally.
There it is.
That's
it.
Let me say that because Look, I've heard stories of people that had tried something else and they had meth in it. So now I always say, not that I know of.
I don't do communal drugs. It's not my ministry.
It's not it.
And not to say that I do drugs, you know. You would have to offer them to me for free to find out. You know, these days you never know. Like, I heard the term microdosing, and it was referring to mushrooms. And when I heard the term in the room, it was a fair amount of people. And folks were like, yeah, me too, me three, me eight. What? Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not interested, but I'll be having no more of the vittles. No more of the fucking food.
You know, back in the day, it was fun and stuff, but now, not the way people are like, no. Back in the day, you know, I tell everybody, listen, I had a very fun life. I had a very fun, you know, time. But what I did 10, 20 years ago, I cannot do today. Not only because this body won't allow me to do it anymore, but just because things are so much more dangerous now. I feel like, you know, fentanyl wasn't a thing when I was out there running the streets.
And
it just wasn't. You know,
would you be who you were if the internet was a thing when you were doing what you were doing?
Right. You know, so anywho, I went through all of that and, you know, ended up working at this organization with Ron Simmons and really put me in a trajectory to see how I can work within my community and help my community and still be, you know, a proud, upstanding person and just be, just put on a fight and learn how to really, like, help folks. So once up, while I was there, for about 5 years, left there, went to another organization, and upon leaving that organization, I've always wanted to volunteer for DC Black Pride, but because of my work with the organization, we always had an event, I was never able to actually be part of the official DC Black Pride festivities. One of my first trips to DC was to DC Black Pride. So I always remember it. I always remember being in the park and it was raining and people were still being out there. So I left the organization, working somewhere else now, got a chance to volunteer. And, here I am, 11, 12 years later. Now the parent organization of DC Black Pride's Center for Black Equity, and I serve as the deputy director of that organization. That was my book story in like 5-10 minutes.
It wasn't even a book story. Like, it was so good. And there's so much more. Again, I said nuance, people. Google it. That's the word people are saying now, and I just said it to all people. That's like, there's so much to be said there because you went from volunteering to you're the deputy director. A lot of people are not willing to, one, see the promise in someone and respect and promote their skill set. My dog has so much to say. Also that. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Maisie. There is a real, if you really want it, you'll work for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if you are genuine, because let's be real, in the black world, sometimes we don't have it, honey. I can tell you. My job, baby, sometimes the best I can do for you is a hot meal and a hug. And a hug is risking my life in COVID. So, like, being honest that here's what the resources look like, that, you know, here's, you know, a change going to come, as Sam Cooke would say, and realizing who was down when there was nothing but donuts.
Yep.
I'm not picking them up. So we're just going to have the one mic stand with Simply Nate and Major, because I'm not picking them up. That's all.
Yeah, Major wants to be part. It's fine.
That's right. That's it. That says a lot. That says a lot about the type of person you are. That says a lot about your commitment to safe spaces. Would you say that feeling unsafe in spaces is why you feel so committed to trying to create safe spaces for others?
Oh yes. If that is not like my thing, I absolutely say that all the time, that I want to create spaces that I would have liked when I was younger. You know, I want to create the world that I wanted or that I needed for my nieces and nephews that's coming up behind me, and for any other, like, you know, black and brown queer person. I want to make sure there's a space for them, because if I had a space to go to that was safe, there's a lot of things that happened in my life that wouldn't have happened if I had safer spaces to go to communicate and connect with other queer people. But, you know, being a young gay in Brooklyn in the 90s, it was what it was. You did what you did, you know. But I am definitely committed to making sure there are safe spaces for all of us. I'm a firm believer in treating people like humans, because I've seen it. I've been judged because of being Caribbean. I've been judged because of being black, because of being gay, because of being a man. So I get it. Being gay, a gay man, you know, I've experienced all of those things. And here I am today as a success story to show people that you can make it. It's going to be hard. It's going to have some stuff, some tough times, but, you know, you can make it. You can be okay. We just got me on my bread. He done made me get up.
Listen, we are going to play a song, because now Winnie, my other dog, is doing a lot. We are going to play. Listen, this playlist is speaking to my spirit, because how can you have baby mama and baby daddy and then not play a song by the baby? Because it's radio. Let's do it.
Stop. Notice how I looked you in your eye.
Let's go.
Next time nigga getting shot. If you really love me, fuck me like a thot. If you really let me do what I say, when you get in here, let me dead in my eye. Go. Play it, I'ma set it on fire. My little bitch is a masterpiece. I ain't even gotta be funny when I'm telling no jokes. She still gon' laugh at me. Still suck my dick when she mad at me. Let a nigga make me mad, you see. I nod my head in this bitch. Them niggas gon' slide on your bitch ass for me. Bust down Cartier, new masterpiece. My little bitch is a masterpiece. I ain't even gotta be funny when I'm telling no jokes. She still gon' laugh at me. Still suck my dick when she mad at me. Let a nigga make me mad, you see. I nod my head in this bitch. Them niggas gon' slide on your bitch ass for me. Bust down Cartier, new masterpiece. Let down the window, you see me. Let it be down. We got AR, 459, in the two-tone Lamborghini. I walk in this bitch by myself, nigga still got on all this bling bling. I told Reed, drop the top on it, ride your little brother and his bitch with that thing. Ding. Nigga, they just told me that somebody died, but it don't bother me, that's a G thing. No, it don't bother me, it's a G way. I don't know what went down at that Walmart. I don't know what happened on that freeway. Okay, there go that baby, he back now. Run that back, hey, bitch, turn that on replay. Oh, he still got that shit with that bop in it. Oh, they thought that little nigga went pop, didn't it? I'm one of them superstar rappers who actually pop and who really gon' pop, nigga.
I'm one of them.
We really them pop niggas trying to send one of you little niggas up, take the clock with you.
And I got this little boo thing.
Soon as I went and got her up purse, put my Glock in it. Like, baby, you my bitch now. She know I don't mean no disrespect, I just talk different, nigga. My little bitch is a masterpiece. I ain't even gotta be funny when I'm telling no jokes. She still gon' laugh at me. Still suck my dick when she mad at me. Let a nigga make me mad, you see. I nod my head in this bitch. Them niggas gon' slide on your bitch ass for me. Bust down Cartier, new masterpiece. My little bitch is a masterpiece. I ain't even gotta be funny when I'm telling no jokes. She still gon' laugh at me. Still suck my dick when she mad at me. Let a nigga make me mad, you see. I nod my head in this bitch. Them niggas gon' slide on your bitch ass for me. Bust down Cartier, new masterpiece. Buzz it down, Cartier, baby. Buzz it down. Niggas think I'm from Detroit, but I come from that 704 Charlotte Maven. And you can come play if you want. I'ma leave your ass cold like Detroit on the pavement. Who fucking with baby just laughed at you? Quit beating nigga up, leave him slagged. I've been on the jet to get a bag. Let's go. Probably need to go and do some therapy. Having moments I always feel lonely. Just walked in the meeting and I got it on me. They don't know that I got it on me. I done made a whole lot of millions while in the pandemic, and they even out here for fun. Clown ass nigga better catch up, you ain't even mustard, that shit there baloney. New booty like a Barbie doll, shit out the package, had to bust out the rapper. Nice ass, fell in love with a real nigga. Time to turn into a savage, a nigga play with me, I probably burn him on camera. Damn, a rapper killed the rapper, a big player, it don't matter what happened before, what really matters happen now. My little bitch is a masterpiece, I ain't even gotta be funny when I'm telling no jokes, she still gon' laugh at me. Still suck my dick, she mad at me, let a nigga make me mad, just see.
I nod my head in this bitch. Them niggas gon' slide on your bitch ass for me. Bust down Cartier, new masterpiece. My little bitch is a masterpiece. I ain't even gotta be funny when I'm telling no jokes. She still gon' laugh at me. Still suck my dick, she mad at me. Let a nigga make me majesty. I nod my head in this bitch. Them niggas gon' slide on your bitch ass for me. Bust down Cartier, new masterpiece.
Key Ratchet.
That's all I'm sitting here like,
he's
ratchet. Yes, he gets into it.
Yes. So I try to tell the people, you never know what you're going to get on a one-mic stand with Simply Nay. Some days it's Ella Fitzgerald giving you the lady as a tramp. Sometimes Grace Jones asking you to pull up Tyler Bomba. Last week, Babyface was never keeping secrets. But we done had a whole child on a one-mic stand with Simply Nay.
Okay.
So... ain't even over. I ain't even going to fuck with Father's Day no more. I'm done enough with the Father's Day. We're just going to carry on in the ratchet tree. The rest of our selections from the one like saying we'll all just be ratchet tree. We've talked to the families of all sorts and all backgrounds. So yeah. We play games. We're going to talk more about you. And I know, so let me just say this. I know some people saw Garcon and were like, ow! This is going to be a whole conversation about houses. And no shame, we could talk about that, but there is so much more to you as an individual, and you do so much critical work in the community. And it's important to know that folks can start from where they are, inspired by what they've been through, and honestly end up being impactful. And yeah. Too many times, folks don't feel like their testimony is the light someone needs to see. And I run into too many future adults in my day job that say, I had a young person say, you know, I just want to meet a gay man with a job.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's the truth. And that's with Jesus. We just did it, just that simply. And you know. The influence that you've been able to gain, positive influence, because see, one can be infamous or one can be influential, and you are influential. And I think that one of the things that made me really want to highlight you on my show and kind of be sad that in all the time I've known you, you've never been on this damn show, and it's okay. Anytime you need to come back, if the Saints are marching in and you want the one mic stand with Simply Nay to let folks know, it's fine. We here. But
appreciate
the reason
that.
Why I wanted to have you on is because you do so much genuine work. And as folks are preparing, because there are so many people who sit wherever they are in whatever state they may be and want to come to DC. And there are so many people who are already here, but they are predators. And they, you know, find that there is a way to excel in D.C. and to gain a certain level of influence and to gain a certain level of social capital and in some cases economic capital, honestly, because this folks are getting paid here. I'm not one of those folks. When those numbers roll out, I always wonder. I always look to my left and look to my right. But folks can see that they can get it on. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can you say to individuals who may feel overwhelmed and may have a number of decisions that they could make? Because, I mean, you could have chose to be a predator. You could have chose to, you know, there's a cadre, as we know, of realities that exist in what is the most powerful city in the world, honestly. And you've made better decisions. And so why would you say, or what would you say to someone who's on the cusp, who doesn't quite know, who hasn't become influential, but doesn't need to become infamous, you know? What would you say to them?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a way better feeling to get it the right way than get it the wrong way. Let me say that. Because I've done things the bad way. Like I said, I was getting in trouble a lot, and I've done things the good way, and it always lasts longer and feels better getting it the good way. So, you know, lead with your heart, you know, and follow your gut. One of the big things that kept me or allowed me to want to stop doing what I was doing when I was living in New York and, like, kind of get myself together was because I had pride in my family, and well, mainly my grandmother. I was raised by my grandmother, and I got tired of letting her down. So when I came to D.C., and I was by myself here in the big city, because even though I'm from New York, my grandmother's from a small town, so I'm leaving her, so I'm going out in the big city, right? She always, like, would check on me and always be worried to make sure that I do things right. Because the thing was, you know, when people in the family used to come and say certain things to her about me, her response was always, Kenny's not doing anything to hurt anybody, and he's living his life and enjoying it. And I circle back around to that, to a conversation I had today about doing the work and trying to help people, you know, I'm trying to find the right word to say. I guess karma. Karma is real.
Right.
If you go out there and do some fuckery, it will come back to you. Let me just read that. I'm on your
exactly.
show.
Exactly. Creatively. Creatively. It comes back.
It comes back creatively.
Yeah, I've fallen back because what I found is the universe is way more creative than me. And quick. We're going to play a game. We're not going to play no more music. We're going to play a game. I want to thank Red Octopus Tattoos. Simply Nay was on the scene this week, and Linda looked out at the Morningside location. So if you stop past Red Octopus Tattoos, go see Linda, let her know. I am Simply Nay, sent you. And, of course, when it heals up, I'll let y'all see it. But I'm not the girl that's going to put the video up of the ugly tattoo. Not I. No. So the game we're going to play is That My Baby Daddy. Never heard of it because it's never existed before the one mic stand with Simply Nay. So how do you play? It's really simple how you play. I'm going to describe a TV father. Just all access daddy. Ooh. Folks got TV. I'm going to describe a TV father, and you, when you have the answer, will say, I'm going to give three clues. If you get it before the three clues, you'll say, that's my baby daddy, and finish it with the name. So very much like how on Jeopardy you must say who is, and then close it with your answer, you must say, that's my baby daddy. So for example, he is plus size. He started off as a lawyer and would become a judge. He, too, was in West Philadelphia, born and raised.
Is it Uncle Ben? No. Yeah, I'm trying to guess. TV Dad.
I'm sorry, I tried to work with you. It's Uncle Phil. Uncle Phil, you were close.
Uncle Phil.
I know him.
Uncle Ben.
But you were on the cusp of a correct answer. This father.
Okay, I got it.
Yes. We have good games here at the One Mic Stand with Simply Nay. Follow along. All right. This father worked on a trash site. This father lives in Baltimore. This father had his brother, his father, and his wife living with him in Baltimore.
Oh my God. Okay, that guy's name, Red Fox. What was his character's name?
I was talking about Rock. Remember Rock? Yes.
Oh,
I'm
my
aging
God.
Myself
Rock.
On today. I'm aging myself on today. It's okay. We short on
forgot
time.
About the
we
Rock.
We short on time. We're going to do one more production. It's like, we got to talk about house things. Fuck all that. I'm having fun. Anyway, here goes the next one. This father introduced the world to corporal punishment. This father had a child of the same name that was also Dynamite. This father died.
Damn. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm seeing his face. He's in coming to America. I'm seeing his face.
We're giving you some attention. Thank you for being on the show. We will pay you no mind. Thank you for playing our game. So we'll get to the good part. I had to make folks listen to the whole show. You know how niggas are. We've been gone, all right? You know how they are. Gonna be honest out here, okay? Let me hold away. Let me get my ads out the way, too. Don't want to get put off the radio. Miss Plus America is coming to Louisville, Kentucky. Technically Jeffersontown, Kentucky, but, you know, all the same thing. We'd love to see you at Triple Crown Pavilion to find out if Simply May will become the next Miss Plus America. Tickets are still available. We'd love to see you at 1780 Plant Side Drive, Jeffersontown, Kentucky. That's the Triple Crown Pavilion. Again, 1780 Plant Side Drive, Jeffersontown, Kentucky. See you at Nationals. If Kentucky is too far for you, it's okay. Your girl will be right back on the pageant stage for Miss Full Figure DMV. The fifth anniversary of Miss Full Figure DMV, The Rise of the Queens, will be a formal affair celebrating the brand's 5 years of pageant excellence. Simply Nay is coming out to show you that size has no barrier on beauty, and I would love to see you there. If you're available, August 14th, 2021, got a nice formal wear and want some dinner, we would love to see you at the Holiday Inn, Washington, College Park, 10000 Baltimore Avenue, College Park, Maryland, 20740. That's right in front of the IKEA, baby, right in front of the IKEA. The doors are going to open at 5, but pretend I said 4 if time isn't your ministry. I'd love to see you, and we'll talk further if you'd like to get a ticket. Will I be the next Miss Full Figure DMV? Pray for me, Saint. It takes more than a cute face. I have that confidence to know that perhaps I can do it, and the humility to know that it may not be my season. So please come in the same spirit, and I welcome you there. Oh, whitey-dighty. Now, take us to the world. Most people know of Houses Through Pose. A couple of people have seen a few documentaries. You know, people watch HBO Max. But the point is, it's a culture that is now, it's almost being discovered, such as folks tried to say they were discovering hip-hop. It's always been around YouTube. Mm-hmm. You know? So can you speak to how you were introduced? Where were you at in life? You know, who introduced you? Like, take us there.
Sure. This was in the late 90s. I'm that old. Late 90s, I was at the Puerto Rican Day Parade trying to pick up a date, and this guy just came up to me and just started talking to me and invited me to meet him at a club on a Wednesday. Now, prior to this, I've heard about the ballroom scene. I've seen Paris is Burning. But my friends around me at the time were telling me, oh, you don't want to do that. Stay away. Blah, blah, give me all the bad news. So, anywho, I just have to get my disclaimer from the next part. So, I guess, you know, I tell the guy, yeah, sure, I'll meet him, you know, whatever. This is before we had, before Adam for Adam, before anything. This is when we used to meet people by calling hotlines. Even before.
Oh, my God. Remember that?
So, yes. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do your intro. Come on. I need it. This crowd.
Oh, my God. Oh, I have to give him the voice. Yo, what's up? That was it. That's all I started.
Oh, my God. That was very hurled in the blue note.
Yes. I used to give him put a little bass on. But anyway, so I saw him, and he invited me to go to this club. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll go. I'm grown now. So I went. He and I are talking, and then a guy gets in the mic, and the guy starts saying stuff, but I'm not understanding what's going on. And then all of a sudden, he, like, jumps down and goes down the runway, and as he's going down the runway,
I look across and I see my same friends that told me not to go to balls at a ball. And that's when I realized I was at a ball and I knew people here. So, you know, I kept on going back. Again, you know, I didn't know I had much spaces to go to. So I kept on going back and I met more and more friends. And, yeah, then I joined the House of the Elite. No, I joined the House of Essence. I became an Elite. Then I became an Angel. I became the House of Balenciaga. And then I am now in the House of Garcon.
So you've been around the world, yeah.
Yeah, I've been around the world.
Is that thought to be faux pas, to go from house to house, or, you know, like, do you have a house limit? Do you look ran through? You know, like, what is the culture?
I mean, so we do have a lot of people that have gone through. See, some of those houses, the House of Essence, House of Elite, those are all starter houses, so they don't really count. Like, they weren't like big ballroom house names at the time that I joined them, I should say. So they were in the starting part of my career. Like, my career really started taking off until I was out of Angel. And I was in that house until it ultimately closed. And Laomi was in that house. Trace Lissette was in that house. A lot of people that are, like, in entertainment was all Angels at one point. So that was where my ballroom career really started. So the big name houses I've been in was Angel, and then Balenciaga, and then Garcon. So I'm at my limit. Like, I can't go anywhere else after this. I know. This is it.
At least to be honest, some people don't know. I don't know. I'll be honest. I didn't know. I just was asking. And I didn't know that some houses don't count. Well, so I guess that's why it's important to do your research, because you don't want to be like, oh, I'm in the house that doesn't count. So how did you identify? Do you walk multiple categories? Did you walk a category? Like, how did you find your niche in this subculture that has so much to offer?
So one of the things about, like, in starter houses, you get a chance to explore and experiment and do all kinds of things. So I've walked everything from Junior Six Sirens to Masculine Faith to Runway to Old Way. The categories I succeeded at were the ones where I had to have no rhythm. So I did really good at dress. Best Dress Spectator, Foot and Eyewear, Labels, where it was pretty much like, just look at me. Those are the ones I did good at. The ones that required rhythm and routines, that wasn't my ministry. But Best Dress, Foot and Eyewear, Labels, those are the categories that I was known for. Until I worked consistently and traveled state to state. Until some things happened in life and it really shifted my ballroom perspective. And then I just really became still part of this scene, but just more in the background. And that's when I kind of disappeared from the scene for a while until the House of Garcon. And I joined the House of Garcon, been here for a couple of years, and they definitely built up my self-confidence in the ballroom scene to make me feel comfortable coming back out in the front stage and using your name and being in all these ballroom spaces. So thank you to the House of Garcon for bringing me out of retirement.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I think one thing that caught my eye, I thought that you could be too old to be interested, and so I hated Dust. And when I saw how involved you all were in the community, and especially in like Tony Clay does a lot for LGBTQ youth in DC, and you all support his work. And just so much that you have going on when you all came and spoke to the young people at DCPS. And that wasn't with much notice. It was like, hey, Ms. Ayanna, because that's my name at work, people, don't be creeps. Don't do it. You don't want to find Simply Nate looking for Ms. Ayanna. I just want to be honest. They were, we would like to have this conversation. And this was when the first season of Pose came out, a matter of fact. That was 3 years ago.
Yep, it
and
was.
And I believe Romeo got a song, correct?
Yep, yep, it was.
See, Romeo. Memory. Oh, hello. And listen, this episode is brought to you by Northern Life. Don't know what I'm talking about? Visit Leafly. It's an app. Anyway, it really spoke to me. It really said that, oh, there's more than going to these events. Now, you know, I'm a cosplayer all day. You know, I like to put on, you know, a little bit of sparkle for no reason. I'll give you a little vintage in a present day. But I've really appreciated what what it has done for young people, how it has been a sustaining force. I almost liken it to the Underground Railroad for queers because I've had friends be like, oh, yeah, they have balls right here all the time. And, child, when you would, if you would think it was not Diagon Alley, like some Harry Potter shit, like platform 9 3/4, very much where, what is the magic word? You know? Can I ask you this? And I think, you know, let's just be real. I only have you for an hour, but maybe there may be space for an additional conversation when you had to.
Always.
But I wanted to ask you, how do you think, you talked about, you know, being in the ballroom space and, you know, how it helped young people and things like that, and you were involved in Brooklyn and now you're involved in D.C. How do you think that gentrification and, like, the urbanization and, like, the profiting on these cities where these young people are actually born and actually from, right? How do you think that plays a role, coupled in with that homophobia on their experiences and, like, ultimately their plight, like,
You know, it's one of the reasons I chose D.C. was because I couldn't afford to live in Brooklyn anymore. I couldn't afford to live in Brooklyn. I moved to Jersey, and Jersey became expensive. I was like, all right, let me leave and get my life together, and then I could probably make enough money to go back to where I'm from. And then to move to D.C. and see the exact same thing happening here was enlightening. Enlightening and saddening at the same time. I think especially when you talk about black and brown queer folk that are already disenfranchised for a couple of different reasons, just because of their mere existence, but also, you know, the unspoken discrimination that happens to queer youth of color, especially feminine presenting queer youth, the discrimination that happens to them, if they can't get a job, if they're not treated with respect, if they're not giving things, they don't have a job, how can they live where they are? So then what they have to do to make ends meet is typically something that's illegal or puts themselves at risk, but this is the position to put them in to survive, to maintain what they want to call a home. So, you know, you put people in a wicked cycle, and for a lot of people it gets hard and they can't get out of that cycle. I hate the concept of gentrification. I see what's happening. And it hurts my heart. I can't even lie. It hurts my heart because, you know, I can't go back to where I'm from, right? I can't go back to, like, now it's literally a drive-thru. And I went to a drive-thru here, but I can't even, I barely remember anything anymore. So I know what it's like. And I'm, so I've experienced it in New York. So I see it happening here in D.C. And it is, it's so sad. And I do think more needs to be done for this, you know, and affordable housing, because what is affordable housing? Because I remember when I was moving from, listing about moving from Maryland into D.C. proper, I started to find, like, the inclusionary housing, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll get something cheap. And when I saw those prices, I was like, well, hell, I can't afford to live here. I might as well stay where I'm at. So, I have feelings about gentrification. I have feelings.
It makes it so hard. It makes it hard. Even like I say, even you have a house community in Brooklyn, you move to D.C., you got to meet new people. Like, it's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah.
I don't know why I chose the end of the show to just get so much deeper, but I ask the questions as they come. If anyone is ever a guest on the One Mic Stand with something that you'll learn, you don't get the questions ahead of time. I don't write them ahead of time. We have organic conversation is led by the universe. Kenya, can you tell the folks how they can get in contact with you, more about the Center for Black Equity, before we slide on out on the good folks?
Yes. So Center for Black Equity, visit us on the website, centerforblackequity.org. We are a international organization that we connect all the parties around the world. We provide technical assistance, training. We finally got to a position where we're able to start actually offering mini grants to pride organizations, especially in the South, black pride organizations, in the South, to make sure that they can have safe and happy pride experiences that represents them and their culture and not fight. I mean, we help them with some of the fights we have to have legislatively. You know, we believe in social equity, health equity, financial equity. We want to. Those are some of our three pillars that we work on. We are completely grassroots,
That's why we get no government money. We collect donations on our website, and that's how we're able to, you know, put together a program or even put on Pride. That's it. So you can always visit me there at centerforblackhistory.org, or you can always email me at KenyaHutton@iCloud.com. That's the best way to get in contact with me, and I'll always connect you. If you need anything, let me know. And if I can figure it out, I got you.
Last question before we close out with this song. Where was the first Black Pride held?
Oh, right here in Washington, D.C., baby. 1991, Banneker Field.
Thank you, and that's on purpose. So we're going to close out. We spoke about back in the day. And so what is back in the day without a little bit of Little Kim? And so, you know, when we think about keeping it ratchet, why not? Little Kim has a song called Nasty One. You guys deserve to have it. Thank you.
Yes, God.
I am another edition of the One Mic Sandwich. Thank you for listening.
As far as I've been in the States, I'm the big one. You never have to doubt I'm a Christian. As soon as you get out, you think it's out of kid life. Then it's a necessary thing, but you need that. And you gon' do it for the nastiest one, yeah. So when you do it for the nastiest one, yeah. Come fall in love with the nastiest one, yeah. In the watch and necklace, paint tripping off the Rari like it got asbestos. Kimmy got that mouth that'll leave him breathless. Snatching nigga's soul like he got a death wish. So Big tells you that I'm nasty. Pussy have a nigga sweating like an athlete. Make love in the backseat of a Bentley Jeep. I call him Jay Reed, cause he ain't too deep.
Loving in the States, I'm a big one. You never have to doubt I'm a Christian. As soon as you get out, you think it's out of kid life. Then it's a necessary dream, but you need that. So you're gonna do it for the nastiest one, yeah. So when you do it for the nastiest one, yeah. Come fall in love with the nastiest one, yeah.
One, yeah. Come fall in love with the night.